Oh, I should be speaking to this. I actually wanted to take a minute and thank our sound techs in both services, but right now that's Mike and Matthew, because I am a lot harder than David. I have pictures and video, and because I am not a preacher, I'm a storyteller, and stories need good pictures and illustrations, and so I'm just thankful for our wonderful tech people. Before we get started this morning, I want us to take a minute to pray for our world, our leaders. It's been a rough week in our world, and so I just want to pray for especially our leaders as they figure out what is the best thing to do in regards to what's going on in Syria, and they need our prayers, and we need them to have wisdom. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the freedom that we have to come here and to worship you. And Father, I do pray for all of our leaders. I pray for our president and all those that surround him. And pray, Father, that you would give them wisdom. I pray for all of our national and international leaders, Lord, as they determine what is the best way to move forward in trying to end this conflict in Syria, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would just give them wisdom. And I pray, Father, that they would seek your wisdom. And I just pray, Father, that you would give peace to all those who are suffering. I pray, Lord, Father, that all those that know you that are in the midst of that suffering would be able to be the physical presence of your love and offer comfort in a way that is life-changing. We thank you, Father, and we trust you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's Palm Sunday, and I'm glad that you guys could be here this Sunday. For those of you that don't know me, I am Elise, and I am the children's pastor. And sometimes I'm able to be in the service, and sometimes I am with the kiddos. And either place is great, so I always have a win-win situation. And I just wanted to, as we get started this morning, tell you that there are some colorful cards in your seat. And those are for our college students. So I'm not going to say that any time this message is going to be boring, because that's just not true. But if you find yourself needing something to do, you can write a message to one of our college students. Or if you just want to tell them what a great experience you're having on Sunday morning, you can do that too. But the bottom line is we want our college students to feel encouraged and loved and to know that their church loves them. And so there are names listed in the bulletin if you want to do something to somebody specifically. And then you can put them in the offering plate when the offering plate goes by. And these are going to go into their end of the year, Easter or end of the year packages? Easter. Okay. We have an amazing college team that does great things for our college students. So take a minute to write a word of encouragement to let them know that they are not forgotten. So it is Palm Sunday, and the kids in the curriculum that I was preparing for our younger guys, it had all the typical stuff that it would have in it for the palms and doing some, they're actually going to be waving their palms while they go over their memory verse. But it also suggested that they do cheerleading kind of stuff because it is a time of celebration and it is a time to get excited about Jesus who is coming into Jerusalem. So I thought that was really cool. And we're actually going to look at Jesus coming into Jerusalem through a video this morning. So let's go ahead and take a look at that.
Thank you.
can't imagine what it would have been like to stand in those crowds and be so excited to be literally in the presence of Jesus. And so I want to challenge us this morning to think about something that if you were in the crowd today, which we are as believers, and you were welcoming Jesus, would you be excited? And would you see that that excitement of you being excited about Jesus would be something that motivates you? And what would it motivate you to do? And as I thought about that, and as I thought about what do I get excited about, and at what point do I get excited about Jesus and what he is doing, not only in my life, but in the world around me, how does that excitement motivate me? And so here's some examples that I came up with. First of all, we don't have to go past God's word for being excited, because God's word is powerful. And we could spend this whole morning talking about how powerful the word of God is and how that excitement about his word could and should motivate us to do the things that it calls us to do. If you look at Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is alive and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." But I love the point of this verse when it says it is alive and active. And it's just powerful. And I recently heard back in January a testimony of how powerful God's word is. I love this speaker. Her name is Beth Gockenberger. And like me, she collects stories and she then likes to share them with groups like what we are in today to point people to Jesus through what he has done. And she told the story about how she and her husband have this ministry in Mexico, and it's called Back to Back Ministries, and it's a ministry to orphans. And through their years of working with orphans, they've actually taken some of them into their own home. And they had taken two girls into their home, and they were fostering them, and the goal was to adopt them. And these girls had been abandoned by their family after their parents died. Their extended family didn't want to take them in. But they did have an extended family. And the extended family was aware of where they were. Well, these girls were in the orphanage. They ended up, Beth and her husband ended up taking them out, bringing them into their home. And eventually, the aunt of these girls realized that these girls might actually be helpful to her because of the kind of business that she ran, and that she could actually use children in running her business, and that actually it might be good to have them. And so she contacted Beth, and she said, "We're going to take the girls." And Beth said, "No, I don't think so." And she said, "Yeah." And there started to be a verbal war, and the aunt became very threatening. And they decided that they needed to get together and kind of talk this out. But Beth went to the director of the orphanage and said, "You know, I just don't feel like," she says, "I'm all about families being put back together, and I'm all about families being being together and being reunified, but that was not the purpose of this aunt. This aunt wanted these girls to work for her." And she said, through the years that they were here in the orphanage, they never came to see these girls, and the visitor logs will show that they never came to see them. "So can you bring the visitor logs to this meeting?" And Maria, a much older woman who was leading the orphanage, said, "Yes, I can." So the day of the meeting came, and Maria came first, and she had these bags of visitor logs, and Beth greeted her and brought her into her home and had got her settled. And then she said what was the equivalent of angry bees is what it felt like when the family came in, because there was a posse of them. They talked over each other. They were foul in how they spoke to her and to each other. They were loud. They weren't listening to anybody. And so finally, after they had been escorted into their home, Bess finally stood up on a chair and said, "I think Maria has something that she would like to say." And so they kind of settled down a little bit. And so Maria reaches in her bag, and Bess, like, all excited, she's like, "It's our smoking gun. This is the visitor logs that they didn't sign in once." because they never came to see these girls. And actually, Maria brought out her Bible, and she started reading, and she read Psalm 1. And Beth said, oh, you know, okay, that's good. That's gotten everybody settled now. Get those visitor logs. But she continued reading, and she read Psalm 2, and then 3, and then 4. And Beth said, by the time she got to 7, she said, I love all things political, and I kind of felt like we were in a spiritual filibuster. I mean, she just kept going and going. And she gets to Psalm 10, and then she gets to these verses. And she says, Psalm 10, 16, 17, and 18, she says, the Lord is king forever and ever. The nations will perish from his land. You, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them, and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, so that mere earthly mortals will never again strike terror. She said, nobody said a word for just a minute. And then the same people who came in got up, sounded like angry bees again, but they left. They got up, they left, and that was it. And she came back in after seeing them and realizing that as they were still angry bees, but they were leaving, and it was a done issue. She came back in and she went to Maria and she says, you did it. And she was thinking to herself, I put in 25 hours worth of work getting ready for this meeting. If I'd known that all I had to do was pick up my Bible, and Maria said, this word is the only sword you ever need to take into battle. And I think that is so powerful. Now, I don't think it always turns out that way, but it turned out that way in that instance, that God's word was so powerful that it just brought that angry group of bees down and turned them around and solved the problem. They just heard the power of God's word. So God's word is just extremely powerful, and it can have a great motivation in our lives and motivate us to do great things. But I want to think about the other things that it motivates us to do, not just God's word, but the excitement that we have over who Jesus is and in our lives. And so I want to ask you this: with the excitement that you have for Jesus in your heart motivate you to serve? Has it ever motivated you to serve? And would it ever motivate you to serve in the future? We have a lot of people that it does motivate to serve. We just finished Hypothermia Relief Response Week. And I am always fascinated. First of all, that is an all-hands-on-deck ministry. So lots of people come and serve during that time. And their motivation is to be the presence of Christ to our homeless guest. And yet the team that leads up that group, it's always fascinating to me because they are always looking for the next best way to be the presence of Christ to these people. Now, we have people here that are already doing amazing things. They're scrubbing toilets. They're fixing meals, all this other kind of stuff that they're doing. But the team is always looking, that's great. We need to continue that. But what else could we do? And this year they came up with something that was just so beautiful and just kind of brought a tear to my eye because it was so simple, but it was such an example of the presence of Christ. Is our leaders decided that they were going to be a human ice cream truck. And if we can bring up that picture. So first they called themselves an ice cream truck, and then they named themselves the Dairy Queens. And they took these trays of bowls of ice cream to our guest. Where they were, they come into the skylight room, our guests do, and they find their spot. And so there's rows and rows and rows of people because we have anywhere from 50 to 60 people in there trying to get sleep. But they also go there just to kind of settle in for the evening. So before the lights are out, they went from person to person and didn't just offer them ice cream, but they offered them the opportunity to put their own toppings on. And going that extra measure in service is what I always think is what's going to do it when we are trying to be the presence of Christ to somebody else. And I was just so touched by that because I don't think it's just that it was an amazing act of service, but I also think that our service has ripple effects because when we go and then share in the midst of our own lives what is going on with our church and what we're doing, then that is our own excitement that motivated us to serve, then also motivating others to either know Jesus, be curious about Jesus, or even fall more deeply in love with Jesus. So I love the fact that our excitement for Jesus motivates us to serve. Would your excitement for Jesus motivate you to obedience, or has it motivated you to obedience? It certainly has in the life of our church and in my life. Obedience is hard. And really and truly, I think sometimes it is my love for Jesus and my excitement for who he is in my life that does motivate me towards that obedience, because it's not easy. It's much easier to do your own thing. But I remember back in 2009 when I took a first step in obedience that has had a cyclical effect, or a chain reaction is a better way of putting it. The chain reaction that's happened as a result of it. So 2009, I was getting ready to take a team to Kenya to do some teaching. And Carolyn Inman was on that team, and we needed at least one more person. And, you know, there are very few times in life where I have felt... There are many, many times in life where I felt God speak to me. I felt God speak to me on a daily basis. But there have been a few times in life where I felt God poke me on the shoulder, make sure that I am listening. One time was when I invited Jeff Bechtel to go to Kenya. But the other time, the first time, as far as all of that was concerned, was when I felt God saying, ask Regina. And so I did. I called Regina right when I heard that voice say to me, do that. And Regina had a great answer. She said, I really think I'm going to say yes, but I would like to pray about it. And so she was obedient. So my step of obedience led to her step of obedience, which then led to this church being turned upside down as far as global missions is concerned. Because then Regina got back, and she motivated other people into getting excited about what God was doing and ask them what their own acts of obedience were going to be. And the things that came out of that were amazing. And one of the things that came out of that was a group was formed called Side by Side Ministries. And they do work with vulnerable children. And as a church, we hire somebody who works alongside Side by Side and their African counterpart, the Royal Diadem. And his name is Enoch, and we could bring up the first picture of Enoch. So I'm excited, not just that Enoch is a part of our story of obedience, but Enoch is coming here in a couple of weeks. And that all happened very quickly. He's actually coming for work, but as a result, we're going to get to spend several days with him, and you're all going to get to meet him. Let's take a look at the next picture. But Enoch is our boots on the ground person as far as vulnerable children. He works primarily for Side by Side, and this is the first child. This is the first one, Ed Anson, right, is the first one you guys sponsored, right? So Enoch does all of the legwork for all of that. And then let's take a look next. But he also hosts us when we're on the ground. And here is Jeff and our friend Ryan as we're preparing to get ready to teach and to train. And then our last picture, and you see, recognize Ed, and Enoch was our host on, I was not on that trip, that was a side-by-side trip, and where they were following up and kind of doing a, they were doing an audit of how the work was going, and making sure Enoch didn't need anything, but you know, the great and exciting things that are happening in the lives of these children is a direct result of a chain reaction of obedience. If I had not said yes, then Regina wouldn't have said yes, and it wouldn't have gone on. But, and all of that came out of our excitement of who Jesus is in our lives and our desire to share that with other people. So my question to you is, does your excitement for Jesus motivate you to obedience? The next thing I want to ask you about is you thinking about Palm Sunday and who Jesus is in your life is, does that excitement motivate you, lead you to tell his story? I love when I hear examples of young people telling his story. And there was a great example of that. I'm not a preacher, and I'm thankful for that. I think we have a wonderful pastor. But I am a story collector, and I use this tool a lot for collecting the stories, because the stories of what God is doing to me is an example of the living gospel. And so that's why I collect those stories, is because they are examples of what God is doing right now and why we should be excited. And so one of them is about these girls who were in a village in Africa, and they were just troublemakers. And they didn't respect their peers. They didn't respect their mother. And this woman in their village was kind of watching that, and she was saddened by it, because these girls were not living their best lives. And not only that, but they were the future of that village, and she just really was discouraged by that. And she started praying about it. She started praying that God would do a miracle there. And so as a result, somebody came and told her about Operation Christmas Child. So she got in touch with the people at Operation Christmas Child, and she went through the training to be an in-country person leading children in her village through their discipleship program. And then they also became recipients of the boxes. So the girls came and received the boxes, but you know the box is a tool. And the box is a tool to help others learn about the greatest journey. These girls went through the program, and they accepted Christ, and the woman said it was amazing, because once they accepted Christ, they were changed. They were changed, and there was no going back for these girls. And they were transformed. The discipleship that they had received hadn't just filled up their heads, it had changed who they were. And so in addition to them telling anybody who would listen about Jesus and his powerful love, their excitement motivated them not only to share that story, like I said, with whoever would listen, but their excitement about Jesus motivated them to share that with their own mother, and they actually were able to lead their mother to Christ and to disciple her, because they were the ones that were receiving discipling, and they come home and they'd share that discipleship back with their mother. That is exciting. But I'm not surprised, because when we are excited about anything, we can't contain it and we want to share it. And so when we're excited about God's story, we can't contain it. And we just can't wait to share it with whoever will listen. Are you excited? Oh, there's a scripture I wanted to share about that too. In Psalm 126, 2 through 3, it says, our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. And then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. And I just love that, because I think that that's how I really would love to be. I would love to be that person who's just always bursting with a sense of excitement, because all the great things that God has done for me, and that I just can't wait to share it. And I think that a lot of times life gets in the way, and we don't have that ability to have that, getting ready to burst in the excitement of what he has done. But wouldn't it be great if we all watched it? Because I think that in itself would tell the story. Do we still get excited when he heals? I'm always impressed with people who use their skills to go and serve Jesus, and doctors who do that in really difficult circumstances, I think, are just amazing. And these doctors shared the story of this young man, Patrick, who also lived in Africa, and he had had an epileptic seizure, and he fell into his family's cooking fire, and he got burned over 40% of his body, and they did the best they could with what they had, but they were not able to save one of his arms, and they just prayed for healing over the rest of his body and for his other hand to be saved. Patrick had to be willing to do the physical therapy involved in keeping his hand from becoming stiff, and had to keep that mobility going. And he just wouldn't do it because he was in so much pain, and he was despondent over losing his arm. And they just kept praying that God would do a miracle there. And they started going through the boxes of donations that had been given to them, which was almost always just clothes. And they came across one of those magnetic drawing boards, just randomly in there with all these clothes. And immediately they thought of Patrick. And they brought it to him, and he was excited. And he wasn't just excited. He wasn't thinking, oh, good, physical therapy. He was thinking, oh, a toy for somebody who has nothing. And he was also so bored. He was just so thrilled with something that would fill his mind. And with his great excitement over that, he started working so hard to be able to grasp that pen. And it was exactly what the doctors had been praying for. And isn't it amazing that even the times where we don't understand what God is doing and we lose people and they are healed in heaven with him, that he still heals here on earth as well. And he healed that little boy through their prayers. And it was just amazing to think about how they got to that part of using a toy to heal him. And that just humbles me to think about the whole story and how that excitement. I mean, that's a story that you just want to go and tell other people. And that's really kind of what should be happening when we get so excited about Jesus. And we just want to go back out and share. So if you look at Matthew 9:35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. I'm sure that's why those people were so excited to see him and waving those palm branches, is because they knew that all this had happened and they were excited. But we can still be excited today because he is still doing those things. Your excitement get you through tragedy? I don't think it's been that long since the fires happened in Gatlinburg, and that was just so tragic, and that happens a lot in our country. You know, there's a lot of tragic things that happen in our country, and it really, you know, tragedy happens to most of us in some way, shape, or form. And it really boils down to how you're going to handle it. And if you're a believer, you have a decision to make. You have a decision to make that as a believer, are you going to let your overall excitement and love and relationship with Jesus help you to get through that tragedy, or are you going to give up and shake your fist at God? And I think it happens both ways, and I understand that because sometimes it's just too much. But this man who had lost his home and was just devastated by what the fire had done in his whole community, he started thinking about Job. And in Job 20, it's verse 20, he says, at this, Job got up after Job had been through horrible thing after horrible thing. And Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head, and then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. And in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. This man decided that he was going to follow that example. And the thing that was beautiful about that was that his teenage son was with him as he walked to where their house had been decimated. And he said, son, you know, we are going to choose to glorify God and to worship him in the midst of this rubble. And they got to their home, and they cleared away a path out of the ashes, and they kneeled and they thanked God. They thanked God that they were still alive. They thanked God that their family was safe, that they could still be together. They thanked God because they knew that He had a purpose for them and that He was going to walk through them through the next steps. And it was really interesting because a group of Christian men came along as first responders, or really disaster relief, not first responders, and walked alongside of him in the midst of all this, helping him clear out things, helping him find things that could be salvaged. And he said it was like a spiritual foot washing because of that service that they had done, and it was just so needed and necessary to just kind of soothe his aching heart. Because with all this excitement that motivates us and the love that brings this excitement, you know, it's still hard. It's still really hard. Losing people is hard. Losing your home is hard. But Jesus has given us reasons to, in the midst of all of that, in the midst of tragedy, to still be able to look back and see that He is present, that His love is in abundance, that He is still doing miracles, that He still heals. And in that in itself can refuel that excitement. So as we get ready to go through this week and we get ready to celebrate the resurrection, I just want to challenge you to think, are you excited? Are you excited about the Jesus that came in on a donkey? And are you getting even more excited about the Jesus that's going to rise again? And if you are excited, then what is that going to motivate you to do? And if you are excited, then keep that excitement and don't be one of those, because you know what? A lot of those people that were so excited in the moment turned around and betrayed Him. Don't be that person. Hold on to that excitement. Hold on to that relationship. And let that excitement and that relationship motivate you to do great things. Let's pray. God, we just thank You so much for what You have done in our lives. And we thank You so much for what You have done in the world around us. And when things are hard and tough, we just pray, Father, that You would give us wisdom in how to just hold on to the great things that You are doing, the great things You are doing in the world and in our lives, and that we would be able to look at that and be excited about what You're doing, and that we would be able to share that with others. We thank You so much for loving us and for giving us so many reasons to be excited. We thank You, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.